from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, he hit 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's 105, it's Pitsy and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, Licata Show. Did a little football earlier, obviously working our way up to it. Jets and the Giants get ready to kick it off this week, week one, as is everybody else. And right now we focus on those Jets with Anthony Becht, who was a former first-round pick. That was back in 2000. Jets with three other first-rounders that year, Chad Pennington, Jonathan Abraham, and Sean Ellis. And first full year in the radio booth for the Jets, stepping in for Marty Lyons. Big shoes, Anthony Becht. Welcome to BT and Sal. Congrats on the radio elevation. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
All is good, man. Appreciate you having me on, fellas. Really excited about the opportunity. You know, listen, I've been calling college and NFL games for over a decade now, and to be doing more with the Jets and their organization, was doing their pre and post game, a lot of stuff for them, and to fill the shoes with Marty Lyons is an honor. So, different perspective from me. I'm offensive minded, you know, head coaching perspective now. You know, just a lot of good things that I really looking forward to for the broadcast, working with Bob Wischusen.
Yeah, I have seen you over the years. I feel like it was on ESPN back, like calling college games. I think you're going to fit in well. And yeah, I like that you bring up Marty, because Marty, not only just an amazing player, but an amazing voice and just a gentleman who does so much for charity. So, you know, somebody moves on, somebody moves in. You're the benefactor there. And by the way, Anthony, let's face it. I mean, the timing could be worse for you. I mean, Idzik could be the GM, or McCagnan could be the GM. I mean, at least you get ready to on paper call the team that should do some damage this season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you said it, on paper. You know, this team is really done the right things to load up their roster. Clearly, the quarterback obviously is the biggest deciding factor of this. They increase their offensive line across the board. I think, again, on paper, one of the top lines in the league right now. And everybody's like, well, if they stay healthy. Well, you know, nobody goes into a season thinking that anybody's going to get hurt. But unfortunately, just with the history of Jets, it seems like something always happens. So hopefully this is the year where they can continue to push through. They got decent depth. The defense is going to be elite again. And it's nice to know that offensively, with an elite defense who was able to really hold it down for the first 8 weeks of the season last year, at least to give the offense a chance, now you got something there that's tangible, and you know, you feel real good about it. I'm excited about Aaron Rodgers as well. I mean, he's had a great camp. He's Aaron Rodgers, man. Like, you know, is there going to be some rust maybe or here and there? Yeah, but he's going to be Aaron Rodgers. If he has the time, he's got the pieces, and it should be fun to see.
You know, Anthony, unfortunately for the Jets, the games are played in reality, not on paper. When you look at this team, what do you think is the biggest weakness or the biggest question mark as something that could potentially hold them back from the postseason or the Super Bowl aspirations?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a weakness. I think it's more of like, we got to see it, is the two receiver. You know, is Alan Lazard going to come back and have the year that I think everybody expected him to have last year when he didn't? I mean, the different quarterbacks, the ups and downs, Now with Aaron, does that change how he is on the field and what his production looks like and what Mike Williams will bring to the table? Like, coming off an ACL, like, is he going to be the guy that he was a couple years ago? I mean, you know, how does he fit in? What's his, what will the offense look like with him not doing anything really, you know, in the whole entire offseason to this point where he got taken off PUP a couple weeks ago? You know, how does that look? So I don't know if it's for me that it's something that can hold the Jets back, but they're going to need another guy to be a dude outside with Garrett. Garrett's going to get his. We know that. Tompkins going to get his, and Breece is going to be huge out of the backfield as well. I just think it's who is that other guy to take off some of that pressure, and I think one of those receivers has to step up and play at a level that we haven't quite maybe seen a two receiver in a Jets uniform play in the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're talking Anthony Becht, of course, former Jets tight end, and he is now part of the Jets radio booth with Bob Wischusen, who I've known forever. I think Bob is amazing. Guys are going to have a good time doing that. He's a great voice here at many sports, but specific to the Jets. The Jets have had a lot of positions where, I guess that's kind of why they're the Jets, no disrespect, where there just hasn't been many good players. Like, all right, we all know about a dearth of great quarterback play. We talk about that every year, all right? But even the receivers, like you look at the great Jet receivers, Maynard, okay, no doubt. Altoon, concussions ended that. Keyshawn and Krabet, and I love them both. Krabet more team Krabet. And Garrett Wilson, and maybe missing one or two others, I get it. But why do the Jets seem to struggle to find, like, a modern offense? Like, it's never easy offensively, and it's been like that for basically 15 seasons.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination of two things. Is, you know, every time you have a draft or you're trying to build the team up, you know, the most important areas obviously are your quarterback and your offensive line. And you always want to just go into a draft where you have those things in place so you can go take, you know, the best receiver coming out or potentially take the top, you know, two receivers that are coming out because, you know, it to me, you got to have those pieces set, the foundation, the line, to enhance what the quarterback is. Now, if it's in Aaron Rodgers, it can be enhanced because, you know, you can spot some pieces and you can build some things, but he's still going to – his natural ability is going to be great. But as you get into maybe a younger guy or a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience, you really have to build that front so that you can survive and have that success you want to have with that quarterback so he can grow. But you also got to add weapons. And I just think it's never really timed up the best for them as far as whether it's a free agent signing or trying to draft a guy high enough where those other needs weren't glaring enough for the Jets. And I think right now it's kind of timed up where they're able to get a ton of skill in the last couple drafts. They're really exceptional players. I mean, Breece and Garrett are legit dudes in our league. And I think the sky is the limit for both of those guys. And now to have a healthy Aaron Rodgers to see what that looks like, to see what they can max out at with that kind of quarterback and the line that they have now, it's exciting, man. Like, it should be good. Like, you know, paper, whatever it is, like, Aaron's not going to be like a crappy quarterback. Like, he's played too much. He's driven. I've seen a sense of urgency in his practice mode and the way he's talked and the way he's kind of gone about his business. And I think he's ready to go, man. And you know, we're going to find out real quick here on Monday night how that all looks.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking Anthony Becht in his first year doing the color for the Jets broadcast on the radio along with Bob Wischusen. What is going to be the Jets' identity on offense? I know, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, but are they going to be a team that's going to look to run the football first and foremost, or are we expecting Rodgers to drop back 35, 40 times in a game and sling it all over the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the game and the way it plays out will dictate sometimes how those things go. I think everybody thinks, well, balance is correct. I think everything's got to feed through Breece. I think this is the best offensive player in the team is Breece Hall, in my opinion, and everything funnels through him. If he has a successful running attack and they can get him going, which I fully expect him to rush the ball at a high level this year, I just think that just makes everything easier. Like, Aaron with a running game is like, you know, it almost is too easy as you look out through his career when he's actually had that piece to the puzzle. So, you know, I think, you know, how you get the ball, distribute to Breece. I know they're deep at the running back position with a couple other younger players, but Breece is the bell cow for this team. I would like to see them use Breece and have a kind of a string of years here where you thought of like LaDainian Tomlinson when you're talking about 2,000-plus yards, total scrimmage, catching the ball, running the ball. Like, this dude can do it all, and he is a confident player that knows what he can bring to the table, And now he's coming off a healthy offseason, a great preseason, all that stuff. I just think, to me, it starts with Breece, whether that's running, catching the ball for him, screens, whatever that may be. He's got to get a certain amount of touches every single game for the engine to go the way it should go.
I like it, and I don't think you're wrong. Okay, so it's hard to change who you are once you've already shown to a locker room who you are. And I'm talking about Robert Saleh, who is a player's coach, which, in my opinion, too much of a player's coach. He's tried to tighten things up this camp, work them hard, which is good. But can the perception change within the ranks, or is it too late for that?
I don't really think it matters. I think, he self-assessed after last year, going through a tough season without the guy that, was supposed to lead the ship. And, he had to go through some ups and downs, whether it be situational decisions, the way you talk through things. It's all a learning experience. I mean, listen, he's a new head coach. He's been coaching a long time, though. He's been around some really good ones. I think, you'd like to have all your pieces in place to see, okay, the pieces are there. Now what does it look like now? And then that's when you can maybe unload the heat on, if the head coach is doing a good job or not. I mean, he can't control injuries. He's got to be able to manufacture ways to win football games the best of his ability to help his team in a position, regardless if there's injuries or not, because, no one's going to throw the towel in.
Yeah.
And I think this year he went on the offseason and say, look, we're going to work a little harder in training camp. We're going to throw some more plays out there. We're going to have a little bit more intensity throughout that process and make sure that, if our guys aren't going to play in preseason, they are ready to go because of what we've done so far in training camp and the offseason. So, I think he's going to stick to his guns. I think he does a really good job. I think the guys in the locker room really respect him. I think they love playing for him. But ultimately, it comes down to wins and losses, and you want to have your best pieces out there to ultimately see if that's what he can do. And I think that this is a year, hopefully, where we'll be able to see that.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. And you might be right, ultimately, right? I know he did self-assess. I know he tried to change some things, and that's good. I respect that. But, you say the players really like him, and I think that they do, and that they really respect him. Well, how about having that translate on Sundays by not committing 10 or 11 stupid penalties? Like, there are too many things with this team that I think the players have taken advantage of, whether it was the whole Mike White, Zach Wilson thing, sloppy play, penalties. I don't know. They have not. Robert Saleh might treat them well. I don't think that they've always reciprocated that toward their head coach. And until that changes, it's not going to be a good thing, Anthony.
Well, those things change when you have a little bit more disciplined player, a little bit more of a type of style of play where guys across the board, I mean, think about all the different line changes and different lineups there were last year. You're going to have those things, man. Those are difficult things. I mean, listen, as a head coach myself, those things crush me and irk me every single game. You go into a game, you have great practice, you preach it, you talk about it, you discipline it, and then that stuff happens in a game. You can't have it. And sometimes it's like, why? How does this happen? We're doing everything we can. We're attacking it. But sometimes, the capacity of the player, the type of player, the guys that are actually out there, the mesh of the guys, the functionality of how it's all going about because of who the quarterback is in the moment. I mean, three, four different quarterbacks are playing. Like, all those things matter for the success of an offense or success of other players, playing better, playing well, playing more consistent, and yeah. Is it an excuse to say, well, a different guy gets plugged in, things happen, now there's penalty, it looks bad, we can't make it all function well? No, there's no excuse for that, and you got to push through and you got to continue to coach through that. But you're right, you want the reciprocation of your players to go out there and perform at a high level, but it's not because of any lack of work or what they're doing. They're putting it in. They're doing those things. I think it's who's out there and who's actually on the field. I think right now, the slate is clean. Your best players are out there. You get to judge it from there. When you start having pieces change and things happen, again, there's no excuse for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that just changes the whole dynamic. It changes how you call plays. It changes what you can do. It changes what you can trust your players can do from a standpoint of a week-to-week game plan. Because if it doesn't work the week before and you change it again, like, now you're like, well, what the hell are we going to do to make it go, right? So I want Aaron Rodgers out there. I want, Tyron Smith out there. I want the best guys out there so I know AVT back at guard. I want them out there so I can see exactly what do we have for an extended period of time. So, okay, now we can say, okay, this is what we had. Now if we get those mistakes, now it's a different story. Now you can bash. Now you can say that this is, we can't have that every single game. So I think it's going to look different. And I'm hoping guys do stay healthy so that we can see all the best players on the field every single week.
Yeah, but even the guys, BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking with Anthony Beck. He's going to be doing Jets radio games, the color commentary for the first time this year with Bob Wischusen. Looking forward to that. Even the players who've been out there over the years have not been held accountable by Robert Saleh. If I look at a weakness on this team right now or a big question mark, it would be Robert Saleh. But he's got to prove himself, and this will be a make-or-break year, and hopefully for his case, everybody stays healthy. But I wanted to just ask you quickly, Anthony, about the defense here. You mentioned before they could be a top defense, an elite-level defense in a league. That's what they're going to have to be if they want to separate themselves in the AFC. How do you think the Jets get to that? Not just as easy as, well, Rodgers is returning, so it should be easier on the defense. I want to see this defense make some plays. I want to see Sauce Gardner be an actual shutdown corner. I want to see them force turnovers, create havoc in the opponent's backfield. Can this defense, will this defense do that this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, if I just look at what I want to see more, I think his turnovers are in. Actual getting the ball, taking it away from the team. And again, you know, I think what you will see is if the offense does what they're supposed to do and has production, that changes the game plan for the opposing offense on what they're going to do. It'd be great for our defense with the Jets to play with a lead. Like now the teams have to do a little bit, take a little bit more risk in what they're doing. They don't have to drag a game out, say, oh, well, Zach Wilson's going to make a mistake eventually. We'll just keep pushing it through. So, and I'm anxious to see what the pass rush looks like. I know Hasan Reddick hasn't showed up and it's a big factor and everybody, you know, wants to see him out there. But I'm excited about Will McDonald. I'm excited about Kinlaw. I think Kinlaw looks really good. I think those pieces up front are going to look really good. They got good depth there. Their linebacking crew is the best in the league, and their secondary as well. So, you know, let's see what it all looks like putting together. I just think everything does fabric off what the offense does. I'd love to see Jets 10-0. Now the defense is out there. Yeah. What does that look like? It's a different deal when you're going to try to hold the fort down every single week.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen that since Abraham and Ellis were trying to get after the quarterback.
I'd love to get those back. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I love those guys. So the final thing for me, and you mentioned Reddick, and I know you don't want to stick your beak in his pocketbook, so to speak, but and I really like Joe Douglas. I've defended him more than most. Not perfect because he messed up the Zach pick, but he's brought in some transformative players. He messed this up, man. In a year where the coach is hanging by a string, he knows he's got to win. How do you acquire Hasan Reddick without having this thing mapped out and done?
Yeah, you know, listen, I can't speak for those conversations. Nobody knows those conversations and what they're talking about. All I know is this, is that, you know, Joe Douglas was open to doing whatever he could to make the situation right. I just think they just wanted Reddick to show up. I think that would have been the big. I think this all would have kind of worked its piece out. But, you know, it's a different age. It's a different time. Agents, players, I mean, they're sticking to their guns. It seems like there's two players right now, Jamar Chase and Hasan Reddick. They're sticking to their guns, and we're going to see how it's going to play out for them. I always feel bad because I got to feel that the player does want to be out there. The player does want to be with his team and push forward. But it is a business, and, you know, it is a tricky situation. What those conversations were, why it wasn't sorted out, how it's getting sorted out, or when it's going to get sorted out, are things we can all speculate and not know. I just know that on Joe's side, they're trying to do everything they can to make it work. And I think, you know, it takes two sides to get things done. And, you know, if a player and their agent decide to stick their ground on a certain where they want to stand, then, you know, who knows when it's going to get done. But at this point, he ain't there, and he's not going to be able to do anything to help this football team at this point. And they do have players, enough players to get it done. On the field,
man,
right
they need
now,
him.
It's just
and
we
they
just
need
don't
him.
Know, right?
Come
like we don't
on.
Know what Will. We don't know what Will's going to do because we've only seen a small sample size. I think the more he plays, I think people will be happy with the way and the production that they'll see on the field. But again, we have to see it before we can start speculating.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, yes and no. With all due respect, I mean, to me, it's not speculation when the opening night is a few days away and the guy that you traded for is not here, and the guy that you used to have is on the team of the guy that you traded for, but is not playing. It's not speculation. I don't want to belabor it, but he messed up, man. That's it. He dropped the ball. Now it's Joe Douglas's mission to fix this. But where it gets complicated, and I understand this part, if you acquiesce for him, next guy that knocks on your door that wants that sort of wiggle room with a contract, now you got a precedent, you got bigger problems, which is why it should have been ironed out from day one. But whatever, that's my opinion. We'll see what happens. I hope the young kids play well. We're rooting for you, man. You're a former Jet. You've been here for a couple of years. Hey, listen, don't be a homer, dude. I'm not saying you're gonna be. I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. Marty Lyon shot straight, and we need Anthony Becht to be Anthony Becht and do the same thing in your own way. All right, buddy?
You got it, guys. I appreciate that.
Anthony Becht. Good stuff. He's going to be good. I remember, this is when I was betting like every single game. I remember seeing him on, I don't know, like he went to West Virginia. Maybe that's why I'm pulling. Like West Virginia versus whomever. Mm. And I saw him on college games probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I'm like, he's good. He's actually good in the booth. Now TV, radio, different. Wischusen's amazing. I think he will be really good.
Better player or broadcaster?
Broadcaster.
Well, you didn't even hesitate with that.
No. I think he's going to be a really good.
He wasn't bad.
I'm not saying he was a bad player.
He just didn't live up to the number one.
Well, his first round pick, I'm saying. Only here 5 years, bounced around a little bit. Becht was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine.
All right.
I think he's going to be a really good broadcaster.
Right. He's got the potential to be. Those jobs are so rare, and there's very little turnover. You get one of those jobs, man, he's probably going to be doing this, you would think, the next 20 plus years.
And if he doesn't watch it, I'm going to get myself in the Jets.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Booth Max, watch.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's BT and Sal's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Pete and Freehold, Pete, BT and Sal, what's going on?
2 quick points. Number one, heel. The problem is, have you seen his control late?
Yep.
It's been horrible. Yep. We can't trust him right now. He's not the answer. My second point is, and then you guys can
comment. Well, hold on, Pete. Hold on. I mean, I respect your opinion. You say he's not the answer. I think that's very much a broad stroke where you extrapolate a few things which are true. Command lately, I got to walk a couple of guys. Last thing you want from a closer coming in a high leverage situation, walking guys. But to just dismiss him as a possibility, I think is nuts.
Well, also, he hasn't done it. So
nuts.
He hasn't done it at the big league level.
Yeah. But the command is a serious problem now. He has not thrown strikes in a month.
Yeah, it's also that's also been a problem for him even earlier in the year. The one bugaboo for Hill has been the walks. Like, he doesn't allow many hits, doesn't allow many runs, but he does
absolutely
walk a lot of guys. So, though, to
absolutely
me, those
we can't take that chance.
Well,
you know what?
Why we got to do something though.
Do we need a closer?
No, we need a closer.
Can we use Cousins? Can we use those four guys to close the eighth and ninth? Why not? Let's try it.
Send a memo to Major League Baseball Manfred. And maybe it'll work for the Yankees if they send a memo over to Manfred's office that, hey, why can't we make these games just 8 innings? Can we please just limit our games only to 8 innings? If we have a lead, the game is over at that point, so we don't have to have a closer.
Gotta go get those little jabs in there when you can, huh, buddy?
Well, I mean, the guy's saying, do we need a closer? No, you don't need a closer. Nah. No.
Nope.
But that was funny. Good call of the day.
There you go. That is the BT and Sal call of the day. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Obviously, the Clay Holmes stuff, a little Jet stuff with Beck, some Met stuff as well. Celia is in Rockland County on the fan with BT and Sal. Hello.
Hey, guys. I love the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm a big Mets fan, originally from the Bronx, if you could believe that. Whoa. And I used to work for the NFL, and I actually have a Mets point. I think when you guys were talking before, you should have looked at John Olerud's 1998 season.
I brought him up.
I didn't hear him. Yeah, they didn't tell me that.
Well, not in the beginning. No, I'm saying after the fact I brought up, because somebody else recommended Reyes. Somebody else brought up Edgardo Alfonso. I was like, yeah, well, Olerud had a good season, too, with the Mets. But we're not looking at the very good season. We're talking about all-time franchise, greatest season in the history of the franchise for a position player. So those guys had good years, but I don't think they're in the conversation, the top conversation like Lindor, David Wright, or even Beltran.
No, I agree. I just think, it was worth mentioning because that 98 season of his was just, phenomenal. Not only with the batting average, but, he almost had 200 hits and his OPS was, just under 1,000. And he almost played almost 162 games. It was just a phenomenal year.
Yeah, Olerud. Well,
thank you, Celia.
Olerud with the Blue Jays had a great year. Olerud in 98, 354. Olerud was a freaking
monster. Oh, I remember
that.
Yeah, I remember that really well.
I love John Olerud.
Yeah, he was good.
All right. I mean, he had 22 homers.
I mean, come on.
93 ribbies.
Stop.
For him, that's nice. But like 354, yeah, he was good. OPS 998. Yeah, I know that's 163 OPS plus.
Now, those are good numbers right there.
He didn't lead the league in anything. Good. Played 100. It was a terrific year. 197 hits. It was a terrific year. Olerud was one of my favorite players. Good defensive player as well. You can't say John Olerud's 1998. Honestly, it's not even top five.
No, it's
not. It might make top 10.
Well, it's funny. I just did this and I didn't have access to this. I didn't really look at that. I just kind of cherry picked in my mind and backed it up with stats, and you threw some stuff out there as well. And it was a real fun conversation. You guys missed it. It's on the free Odyssey app. Just go check it out. So, reading it right now, who had the Mets' top single year at the plate? Anthony DeComo wrote it.
Meaning what? Oh, he wrote an article. Okay.
This is from 2021. It's got a couple of years on it, but nothing happened since outside of maybe Lindor this year. Number one, David Wright, 07, which is
the year that you said, yeah.
Number two, Beltran, 06.
Which is the year that I brought up. Which is what you said.
Number three is Olerud, 98. Olerud.
Come on, better than a Piazza year?
It's...
Well, that's Anthony's either opinion
but it gives
or whatever.
Key stats, and it's
he's going based off the OPS.
It's quantified by... number four, Hojo.
Okay.
Hoff did a good job bringing that to the table. And number five, Mike Piazza, 2000.
Yep, we brought that one in.
I got a couple of honorable mentions for you.
No McReynolds.
I've got Lance Johnson.
He had a great year, 1995, right?
Ninety-six. Hit .333.
Led the league in hits.
Led the league in triples with 21. And
Thorny led the league in hits.
I don't have that. And stole 50 bases. And Gilkey.
Also the same year, right?
In 96.
97 or 96? 96. Yeah, I remember that. That's when I really first started going to games on my own. I love those Mets.
Gilkey,
Lance Johnson. Yeah. Gilkey was good.
I know he was.
One year.
Played left field.
What are his numbers that year?
Gilkey was, let me see. He slashed .317, .393, .562. OPS, if I do the math quickly, .950. Yeah. 30 bombs, 117 ribbies.
Yeah. I mean, not bad. But again, we're
not bad,
about...
but we didn't even mention him. Like, there were others that were.
But those are all right. But those are... we're not going through the list of honorable mentions because then people call, even Olerud, like, okay, yeah, it was a good season. Come on now. You're telling me that Olerud's season, we had to take away Piazza 2000, Beltran 2006 to get down to Lindor versus Wright 2007. Like, we worked with a top five. It's not just, oh, well, this guy had a good season and that guy had a good season. Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the greatest ever. So let's just cut to it and get down to the top as
this
opposed
guy.
To 5 through 10. Yeah, I mean, well.
He's skipping the baseball four plays. Guy's going right to it.
Yeah, like getting right to it. Let's go.
Who does it at this point?
If it's there to be had, yeah.
This guy, of course, always a step too far, my partner. Hey, New York City savings has always been hard, but with unlimited welcome from Verizon. Keep going to Saratoga. You're going to be doing nothing. You know what I mean? Keep going to Saratoga, buddy. Leaving our home sick? Really going to be nothing there for you.
See the look he's giving me.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I just want to get back to the Reddit stuff for a second here. Beat Dean Sal on The Fan. We got you, I don't know, 15 more minutes or so. Evan and Tiki coming up after us. So, based on the conversation with Anthony Becht, right? I understand that, you know, you can agree upon something, I mean, in a non-contract form. And you believe that everybody's going to, you know, remain married to their word and, you know, do what they got to do and follow through. And you can't you can't predict necessarily what might be cavalier or unpredictable behavior. So I can see why some people kind of let Joe Douglas off the hook with this. I'm not one of those people. This was just negligent. This was just irresponsible. And this was just a rookie general manager blunder. That's all there was to it.
He got played for a fool. The Philadelphia Eagles, and I like Joe Douglas too. A lot of
me
what
too.
He's done I feel good about. Certainly better than any of his predecessors. Like, he's been that good. And maybe it says more about who's been here before him, but he's been a real GM at times, which they all make mistakes. However, this time he got played by the Philadelphia Eagles. Plain and simple. He got played. They dumped their problem with Hassan Reddick on him, and he was a sucker to take it, thinking that, oh, Reddick's going to abide by our handshake agreement, whatever it may be. No. No, that is a foolish, foolish rookie mistake by a guy who should have known better, and now he's too dug in. I don't think the Jets are going to give any here.
I don't think so either.
And I'm not even saying they should at this particular point. The mistake was not digging in or not giving Reddick his deal. The mistake was trading for him in the first place when you knew that he wanted a new contract, which is why he was available from the Eagles.
Yep. They should have had this resolved before they allowed Bryce Huff to walk out the building.
End of story.
It
yes.
was just an incredible miscalculation. And honestly, I don't want to be hyperbolic here because they got a lot of things going for them, but this could really derail part of the, I mean, this could change a lot.
He's the only player still holding out. It's a New York Jet and an elite pass rusher at that. Let's not see. I think Douglas made a mistake in trading for him without a contract.
Yep.
And then you could say that Reddick has made a mistake costing himself a lot of money by holding out.
Correct.
Sure. Well, also, fans who are looking at this and media members and are minimizing what Reddick is supposed to be. Or
who's doing that?
I think that there are a lot of people who are overlooking it. Meaning every person who's like, oh, 9.5, all the Jets are going to be this and that. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thing ever. Yeah, okay, that's great, but you're minimizing the importance and the impact of Reddick having, you know, that he could have on that defense, which is supposed to be an elite level defense. They clearly needed him because otherwise they wouldn't have traded for him. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I said this months ago, and we'll rehash it again as we get closer to the season
starting.
Well,
because we're getting there, and he's on ice. He's the only one not playing, as you said.
He's not going to be playing.
He's not playing Monday. Even if he walks to the building today, how's he going to play?
Which is already a loss for them.
Yeah. And listen, maybe Will McDonald winds up being, I don't know anything about Will McDonald. I mean, I've seen him play every snap he's played.
Yeah.
Do I have a definitive sense of whether or not Will McDonald is going to, you know, be a needle mover? I don't know. I mean, Michael Clemens strikes me as a big, bad dude, somebody I wouldn't want to mess around
right.
with. But is he Hassan Reddick? The answer is no. You know, and here's the problem. Now, some people disagree with this, and I very rarely say an opinion is wrong because it's stupid to do that.
Yeah.
But I honestly believe the opinions that disagree with what I said. Well, you know, if you think that Reddick has the leverage, I just think that you're wrong, right? But that doesn't mean that the Jets win here. The Jets have the leverage because, again, if he doesn't play this year, he gets banged out for what's going to equate to millions.
Right.
He leaves $14 million on the table, and he doesn't accrue the year of service, so the Jets just pump next year. He's in the same spot. So Reddick doesn't gain an ounce of good stuff this year. But the Jets, I mean, they might fall the game short of the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but for a head coach who's going to be gone, a GM who's going to be gone, I mean, to
so
allow,
then how do they have? How does he? How do they have all the leverage then?
To the Jets?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they have the leverage against like Reddick just based on the pure.
Right.
The pure essence of the situation.
The contract wise.
That's actually a good correction. I may be a little confusing. I may have crossed wires there. Right. What I'm saying is, if you isolate the Jets' desperation. You take that out.
Right.
Because then that does play a little bit into it, and it gives
you... Well, but that's what they're counting on, right? Well,
but they're not going to bend, so it's not going to favor... There's no way the Jets are going to bend. Because if the Jets bend, they create a precedent now. The next person that wants this... How do you say no?
They can't bend, but they're going to lose because they're not having a player that they clearly want and need on the football field.
Well, I agree with that. That's why I say the right. Jets will ultimately lose, even though they've got the contractual leverage.
Which is why him and his agent, I guess, decided to do this. I think Reddick and his agent made a major mistake here. But also, once you make that mistake and you're this far deep in it,
From Reddick's perspective.
Yeah, you almost have no choice. Like, he's just going to say, oh, you know what, we'll lose
a million. No, you do. You can go and make $14 million is the choice.
Oh, well, then what's he waiting for?
I don't know.
Either way, it's just an unnecessary problem that could have been avoided had Joe Douglas either, A, realized that the Eagles weren't just doing you a favor here. Mm-hmm. They were looking to get rid of a problem. Or, B, when you say, okay, yeah, I'll take him. I'll trade for him. But I need to work out a deal now. Not a handshake agreement. And then there's, like, reports out there, oh, well, Joe Douglas had a handshake agreement and Reddick is acting differently. Okay, well, that's what happens when you don't have a written deal.
Yep.
Like, well, Joe Douglas and the Jets are going to play victim here because Reddick handshook the Jets and saying, oh, this is going to happen. And then, no, you're the fools. You have to have them signed. That's the whole point. But they're trying to paint it like, oh, through the media. Oh, well, this is not us. Reddick is throwing us a curveball. We expected him to be out there. Yeah, well, you should have known better. The Eagles dumped him for a reason.
Yeah, that's what Joe's saying. But, you know, every story that I read, and certainly just start with my own convictions and opinions of this, the Jets getting crushed, and rightfully so. They just colossally butchered this. Now, for a second, you be Reddick, and I'm going to be his agent.
Yeah.
All right, I'm almost positive that this is the way the conversation went. Hey, Hassan, listen. We got these guys by the short ones.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't won in years. Everybody's going to get fired. They just lost Bryce Huff to the team that you were on. Say whatever you want. We'll placate them in the moment. We'll present, best foot forward. Oh, yeah, we're amenable to this. Oh, yeah, we're going to play. We can't wait. We'll earn a contract. Psst. As soon as they say okay to that and they make the trade, we bend them over. That's the human nature of this.
Sounds good.
That's what happened.
Right, sounds good. And then once it starts to go the other way, you need to, and if I'm Reddick in this case, quickly pivot and realize, hey, this guy, the agent, sold me a bill of goods.
Yep.
They're not going to bend. That is very clear. I don't want to lose any more money. Figure it out.
Correct.
Get me back in there.
Two very different things. I agree with that, too.
So, he made a mistake as well, digging in deep, trusting his agent here, because... The Jets aren't going to give in, and he's going to end up losing money. I don't know how he's going to benefit in the long term, but it's just an unnecessary mess.
Sal, he's not a kid. I mean, now a little different for a running back. I get that. Le'Veon Bell all over. I'm not going to say that, but I mean, I don't want to stick my nose in somebody else's financial state, but you've got a finite window to maximize your value in the NFL. This is not like the Rolling Stones crawling across the stage when they're 76 years old in front of 100,000 people for sentimental reasons. You can't move, and you lose a little burst. I mean, you're gone.
Yeah.
So he's got to know that. I don't begrudge him for trying to use the leverage at all. I think it was actually a smart play. To Sal's point, he then should have taken control of the wheel and said, all right, we had a plan. It's not working out. Fix this, otherwise you're fired, to his agent.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it could have been handled maybe better on his end.
Be smart enough to realize it's not changing from the Jets' perspective. So I don't know. I mean, people get into this. And again, if you feel disrespected and you're not getting your proper value, I understand that. I don't believe that was the case with Reddick here, where he feels unfair. I think he's trying to get more than what's been fair to him. And I understand also wanting security as well. But, I mean, look, $14 million or nothing.
Yeah.
You should take the $14 million.
Now, that's, here's what I'm going to disagree with you. That's almost too easy to say. Because for us, $14 million changes everything.
I understand.
For him, and he sees other guys who he might not be quite as good at, like Watt and a few others, who are making $25, $30, $35. I don't think it's reckless for him to say, hey, I should be paid $7-8 more million a year.
Right, fine, but then go out there and earn it. He's clearly
had a really good career.
No, I say that. Well, this year, Jets said, hey, you're going to have to go out there and earn it, and we'll take care of you.
Now, what if they're trying to play him? What if he does what they want, and then they don't come with the money?
I mean,
Jets going to play that game, too.
Yeah, I guess.
They need him. That's the bottom line.
But he would have gotten paid what he was supposed to get paid this year, and then could have gotten a contract elsewhere.
They need him.
They do.
And then the kid that they draft who flourishes and develops into a borderline star is gone. Yeah. And that drives you nuts about the NFL, the finances. All right, Sal. Good luck to your Metsies tonight. Stay hot.
I'll be there. I'm going
That's
to the...
That's right.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Hey, don't end the winning streak.
Oh, God.
Sal the Mush in the house. Go Mets, go Yanks. We'll see you tomorrow. Start ramping up the football stuff even more. Evan and Tiki next. Have a great Wednesday. Bye-bye.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.